All right, well, good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's time to begin. It's good to see everyone. Did you brave the winter weather that's come back here for a day or so? Back in the 30s. But it won't be long. A few weeks we'll be complaining about how hot it is. So, except for Tara. She won't be complaining about how hot it is ever. So, anyway, it's good to see everyone. Thank you for being here this morning. I'd like to begin with a prayer, and then we'll get into our class. Dear Father, we're thankful for how you bless us each day. We thank you for this time that we have to come and to study your word. We pray that you would be with each of us, Father, and as we study, we might consider the things that you would have us to know. Pray, Father, that you would give us the courage that we need to examine ourselves and our life and to make changes as needed. And help us, Father, to have confidence in you, confidence in your love towards us and the grace that you give, that if we strive to walk with you, to walk in the light, as you're in the light, Father, we know that that your love and your grace will cover us. Father, we're thankful for all who are teaching here this morning. We pray that you be with our teachers and with all who are listening, that they might be benefited. We pray that you would be with those of our number who are not able to be with us this morning, those who are ill, and that you might watch over them. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, as I had mentioned before, this quarter is, it's not quite a quarter. And so we went over a month for good reason. And so this quarter is kind of a quarter. It's really April and May. And then we're going to start the new quarter. So usually, obviously, a quarter is 3 months. And we're not even, we're already partway into April. So the study is going to be shorter, but hopefully will still be impactful to you in some way. And what I wanted to do was look at lessons that we can learn from the life of Peter. So lessons that we can learn from the life of Peter. And I think there's plenty of good things there for us to consider, you know, kind of as we look at his life and look at our own life. I think for me, Peter's a kindred spirit in many ways, and you know, so that's one of the things that I take away from looking at his life. But when you think about Peter, what do you know about Peter? Okay, yeah, so we know he was an apostle.
He's one of the inner three,
I'm sorry?
One of the inner three, usually.
Okay, yeah, so there's...
closest to Christ.
Yeah, we kind of have insights of who was close to Christ. We know that Peter was with him in the garden and was really close to Jesus.
Fisherman.
He was a fisherman. Right, so kind of started out there. We know he was a fisherman.
Preached the first gospel sermon.
Preached the sermon that kind of established the church there, right? Once the Holy Spirit came down and Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and Acts 2:38, you know, what shall we do? And repent and be baptized. And the Lord added, we know, at least 3,000 to the church that day. So he's known for that powerful sermon.
He denied Christ 3 times, just like he said he would.
Yeah, he denied Christ 3 times. And he wasn't expecting to do that, even though he was told that he would. Right? Even with a warning, in full intentions not to do it, he went ahead and did that.
Wrote two epistles.
Okay. Wrote 1st and 2nd Peter.
I'm impressed that he served as an elder.
He was an elder. Yep. So he was an elder in the church.
He always kind of struck me as having a personality that he'd stay by your side no matter what.
Okay. So,
like a person, like, really outspoken, loud personality, but...
Kind of a loyalty? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. If he went there, if he was, Jesus at one point went in and healed
his mother-in-law,
which implies what?
He was married.
He was married. Okay, so you know that Peter was married. He was a fisherman, and when Jesus saw him, which is what we're going to talk about today for the first time, was he an only child? Okay, so he had a brother, Andrew, right? So we know he had a sibling. Yep. Okay, so we know a good bit about Peter. You know, once you kind of go through and you think about and look at it and look at the accounts and through the Gospels and Acts, you kind of learn a good bit about Peter. So one of the characteristics that was mentioned is, you know, maybe that he's loyal. What other things? So when you think about Peter, what do you think about as far as his kind of personality or his characteristics?
He leads with his heart.
I'm sorry?
He leads with his heart.
Leads with his heart.
Later.
Okay. So kind of a emotional.
Impulsive is what I think.
Okay. Impulsive. Willing to work, so...
He knows what work is, he's willing to put himself into a lot of effort.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, fisherman is, as you mentioned, he was a fisherman. I mean, just being a fisherman is tough. Okay, that's not a desk job. I mean, that's, you're out there in weather. You're out there for long hours, you know, through the night. Sometimes you're sleep deprived. I mean, you have to go when the fish are there. You don't get to just pick your hours and do whatever. I mean, it's a, and sometimes you go with no reward, right? So working over and over with no reward and then hoping for that reward. So it's not afraid to work.
I remember he fished for fish and then he fished for souls.
Okay. So sometimes you fish for fish and sometimes you fish for souls. Anything else about Peter, when you think about Peter? Because there's different people, right? If I said Moses, you'd think some things. If I said Job, right? The P word always comes up on the, you know, the patience of Job. Anything else on Peter?
Being a fisherman's all-encompassing. There's a fisherman in the church down in Belize. And anytime you're around the ocean, he's watching the wind, and the water, you know, because you got to know when fish are going to be biting. You got to know when it's safe to take the boat out.
That's right.
And I mean, he just, I've noticed that about him. It's sort of comical. He's looking towards
the... That's right. That's where he lives, right? And that's where
that's
his living is
that's
out in the water.
That's how he makes his living.
That's right. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 4. And Matthew 4, and if someone could read verses 18 through 20. Matthew 4, 18 through 20.
Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets followed him.
Okay, thank you. So those are three short verses. Kind of a lot there. So what's happening at the beginning of verse 18?
Jesus is walking by.
All right, so Jesus is on the scene, right? So, you know, and I don't know exactly, you know, it says he was walking by the Sea of Galilee. And so, you know, I don't know where the boat was. I don't know if the boat was, you know, in the water a bit. Obviously, the boat's in the water somewhere, but or if they're kind of docked and they're just working on their nets, or but it says they were casting a net into the sea, right? So makes me assume they're out in the water, right? And they're fishing. We also know from later, which we'll talk about, that there was a time when Peter saw the Lord. John leaned over to him and said, "It's the Lord." And what did Peter do?
Throw his cloak and jumped out of the boat.
He jumped and started swimming for shore to see the Lord. They were fishing then, and it said, I forget how many cubits, but I looked it up. It's 300 feet. So they're fishing. They can be fishing. They're 300 feet from the shore. So, I mean, it's not like they're a mile and a half out. Okay. A lot of places, the water drops quick. I mean, you don't have to be in very deep water to, you know, to catch fish. Okay. So they're fishing, and they're actively fishing. And Jesus asked what? What did he say to them? Not in this particular one. Now, it was in the other one that I mentioned, but I got you a little confused there.
Follow me.
Yeah, so Jesus, he sees Peter. So he sees Peter and Andrew. They were fishing, and he said to them, follow me, and what?
I will make you fishers of men.
I'll make you fishers of men. Okay, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What does that mean?
I'll use you to teach others.
Okay, I'll use you to teach others.
They were used to the material. There's going to be the spirit.
Okay, so they're, what they do is the physical. And Jesus is talking about spiritual fishing. Now, when you fish, do you always catch something?
No.
I don't. Okay, so Sandy can tell you about plenty of trips, and we go down to Florida, and we get my brother-in-law, my nephew, and sometimes my son, if he's with us, and Sandy will go, and you know, we're all excited, and we've got bait and stuff, and I mean, we prepare for, when we go out there, and it's like nothing. And you know there's fish out there, and you know they're hungry. So you don't always catch when you fish. And is that true spiritually?
Well, I heard somebody one time say that it's not about the fish, it's about the fishing, because there's more involved. But what, in your context, no, you don't. You can talk to 20 people, and in some cases, you might get one response.
Okay, yep.
Sometimes more, but sometimes not even that.
Now, Jesus said, come and follow me, or I will make you fishers of men. What in the world qualifications do Peter and Andrew have to be fishers of men? What are their qualifications for that?
Like they implemented all some of that already. They understand what work is. They understand how to read the circumstances, if you will, to try to assess, is this a good time, is it not a good time, you know? Is there a chance that things may be successful or not successful? But then again, if it's not successful, they don't just quit. They regroup and get ready to go back out again. So they've got some of the characteristics just from what they've been doing that will serve well on the spiritual side as well. So, and then, hey, You're used to catching this physical thing. I'm going to go out and show you what it means to grab men in and let you be an example, draw people in to follow what I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to teach.
Okay. So they had the characteristics, right, of perseverance, understanding that you don't always succeed when you try the first time, but did patience, right, having patience, willing to do the work, so hard work, but do they know doctrine? Do they know, I mean, they know what kind of bait to use, or they know how to tie nets, right? They know how to, but what do they know about fishing for men? Right? They have some of the characteristics, but what do they know about that? Right? Not
course, it's probably one of the probably key things, even with it, is come follow me and I will show you, is that basically on-the-job training. Where Jesus is saying, I'm going to be your example and your mentor here and all that. I'm going to prepare you and teach you what you need to know to be able to do that. So that being willing to sit at somebody else's feet, walk along with them, observe them, and learn.
Yeah, because what does he say? What does he say in the verse? What's the second part of that verse where Jesus is speaking?
I'll make you.
I will. Right? I will make you fishers of men. You know, I'll show you how, right? I will teach you how to do that. Do we sometimes hold back from doing things in the Lord's church, you know, because we don't think we're enough?
All the time.
Right? Or we don't think we're ready. I'm just not quite ready yet. Right? And
I had about 3 1/2 or 3 1/3 years to learn this from the feet of the master.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's what they ended up having. I mean, at the time, though, they don't know, you know, but yeah, they had 3 1/2 years. I mean, Peter did, but time like here and, you know, the day of Pentecost, basically, I mean, in that time frame to learn. But how often do we think, I'm not enough? Or I'm not good enough, or that's not my skill set. And here's Peter and Andrew fishing, and Jesus comes by and says, come and I'll make you fishers of men. And back to, you know, the one of the characteristics of, you could call it impulsive, or you can call it leading with your heart, or it made sense to him, and he and Andrew both, right, as brothers, what did they do? They left, right? Immediately, right? So I think there's a lesson in there for us, right? That you don't have to be perfect, right? You don't have to be perfect at everything or know everything to be good at something. And sometimes we wait until the whole, until we think, you know, we have to know all of it before we can do any of it. Do you have a comment?
It just shows their trust, too, because here they are leaving their living. Making a living for their families also.
Yeah.
It shows their trust in Jesus. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if this is the first time they ever saw him. I mean, it kind of implies that it is to me.
Yeah, to me, too.
And it's like, well, okay. It shows their enthusiasm and their trust to me.
Look at Luke 9. Someone read Luke 9. 57 through 62. Luke 9, 57 through 62. What do those verses say? Harry, do you want to read those?
Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.
Okay. So when you read that and you think about that, you think about our lives and us waiting until we're perfect before we can get engaged in something. Right? We're waiting until, you know, we're what we think we need to be before we get engaged. What are some things that we hold back from doing sometimes in the church? What are some works in the church that we hold back because we don't know if we're ready?
Teaching others.
Okay, teaching.
Talking to people that we meet every day about who we are in the church.
Okay, so talking and sharing who we are. What else?
For some people, obedience to the gospel. They want their life right first instead of that being the first step to getting the life right.
Okay, so sometimes, again, you know, we're looking to be that perfect person before we feel worthy to do anything. And when are you going to be perfect? Not in this lifetime. I hate to break that to you, but you know, not in this lifetime. What else? I am comfortable with silence, so I can wait.
The biggest thing is being a fisher of men.
Okay. I want us to think about things. What are things that we could be doing or that people could be doing that we wait because I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know. I'm not that comfortable. It doesn't.
Reaching out to people in need, finding means to touch people around us. You know, the, what are the needs here?
Acts of service.
How can I go do something? I mean, it takes some coordination and work, but anyway.
Yeah, acts of service. I mean, you know, going and helping somebody with something, right? And, you know, it feels uncomfortable. How do I do that? How do I get that started? I mean, how do you help somebody? I mean, people who need help often are happy when you offer to help. Right? What are some other things?
Committing to a Bible study with somebody.
Okay, maybe a Bible study. I mean, that's one thing. Well, you know, I can, but I don't feel comfortable studying the Bible, you know, with someone, okay?
Teaching a Bible class.
Teaching a class. Leading singing. But just being an encourager. What about just encouraging others?
Learning about other people.
Learning about other people.
How is it that I can, is there a way I can minister to you to help you out?
We have visitors who come in. We have people who, you know, getting to know people, reaching out. You know, instead of just sitting in our space or always just talking to the people we always talk to. It doesn't matter what it is, but there's nothing that stops us. Peter left and Andrew left their livelihood and went to be something that they knew nothing about. They just trusted in Jesus.
I don't want to take away from that point because I think it did take a lot of faith and trust on their part. But, and it looks like the way the chapter, with the Bible is split up there, that it looks like that this is the first time that Jesus had seen them. But if you look in verse 12, it said that Jesus departed to Galilee. So he went to Galilee. And if you look in verse 17, he said, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I just happen to think, and there's still a lesson here, important lesson here, I just happen to think that these brothers were people he was familiar with because he was already preaching in that area. So the miracle wasn't necessarily that he just happened upon two sailors, or fishermen, and said, okay, come follow me. And these people just finally just followed this stranger who walked upon them. So there's still a lesson there because they had to know him. They had to hear what he was preaching or teaching, and he had to be living a life that was consistent with what he was teaching. And that, I believe, is what gave them the faith to follow Jesus when he just said, come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. They already knew what he was talking about. They already knew what he was about and what he was doing, and they wanted to be a part of that. And that's what we can do in our lives.
Yeah, it's possible. Right, it's possible. With no doubt, he was teaching in that area, and no doubt they could have known of Jesus. Right, we don't know that they knew Jesus, but it's certainly possible that they heard that there's this man Jesus, and now he's on the now he's on the beach here, and he's calling us to follow him. Right, and so a lot at stake here for them, right? It's a big decision, leaving their livelihoods. How long is this to be fishers of men? Like, is this like, do we do this for a week? Like, is this,
for the rest of their lives?
You know, like, do they know what they're doing? I mean, what kind of commitment is this to follow you? Like, is this, do we do this for 2 weeks? Is it a month? And obviously, as Mary said, I mean, it ends up, they learn over time. This is a lifetime, right? This is a commitment to following Christ.
I think they did know, or at least Andrew had a sense of who this was. Go back to John, and John, Jesus was coming, there were two disciples with him. It says in John 1:35, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." A few verses later and stuff, Jesus interacts with him and all that stuff. And in verse 40 says, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, son of John, you'll be called Cephas."
So from that interaction, Andrew at least, maybe Peter, were following John the Baptist and hearing what he was teaching. And then when Jesus came to John to be baptized, Andrew heard that, this is the Messiah. That's my introduction. I'm already sensitive spiritually to things about what's going on. I'm looking for the Messiah. So he's been following here, listening to John's message, and he believed what John told him when John says, that's the Messiah. And then Andrew runs and gets Peter and tells him. So there had been some interaction to me between Andrew and Simon about who this man Jesus was.
Okay.
So when Jesus comes back to them on the Sea of Galilee and says, "Hey, follow me," they had a sense already of what was going on because of listening to John the Baptist and that initial introduction. So their cost of saying, "Yeah, I'm going to give up everything to follow this man and listen," well, they, some sense to me, already says they've already believed that that is the Messiah. And I'm going to put my trust in him to follow him and do whatever he needs to do.
Okay. So that's, that's certainly possible. I mean, to me, I'm not exactly clear on the timing of, or the sequence of everything, but the point that I'm trying to make, is more about their decision to follow.
Right.
Okay? So their decision is to follow. What if they hadn't followed Jesus? What would be different?
Would have had a different set of names. Okay. There would have been two other people somewhere.
We would have had.
Jesus would have furthered his kingdom with or without them.
So he's going to accomplish his purpose, but he could accomplish it different ways. Right? So we wouldn't have had Peter the day of Pentecost that you talked about, right, preaching the way that he did. It could have been somebody else. There were several who had, but it wouldn't have been Peter. And it may not have been on the day of Pentecost. It could have been accomplished some other way. It could have started another way. All right. You ever watch that movie, Back to the Future? And what do you realize in Back to the Future? When he goes back in the past, what happens?
Mother falls in love with him.
Well, yeah, not literally. But
he can't change the past. That's,
you know, but you start messing, you know, different decisions in the past impact what?
The future.
The future. Right? So is decisions change if just one small thing, something that you think is one small thing that changes, and before you know it, a whole different set of events are kicked off. Right? That's kind of what that movie shows. Peter decides, and Andrew decide not to follow Jesus. Things would be different than we know it today. Right? And what I want us to think about is what could be different based on the decisions that you make to follow Jesus? Whether you really follow or you don't follow, what is happening or isn't happening that could impact the future of all kinds of people? I mean, we're 2,000 years later and we're still talking about Peter because Peter got out of that boat. And he's had an impact on the world through Christ, right?
He wasn't beat down when he denied Christ. And as embarrassing as that might have been, he was willing to admit his fault and get up and start over again.
And over.
And he basically couldn't be stopped after that because he really decided to let God work in him and through him.
And so he was purified, right, through all those tests at some level. I think, you know, Satan doesn't have, you hear that saying, Satan doesn't have to destroy you, he just has to do what?
Distract
or discourage you. Right? If he can just get you distracted, if he can just get you discouraged, that's good enough. That'll keep you from making the choices and the decisions that you need to make. You think about Noah. In Genesis 6, 13 through 22, Noah was told to do what?
Build a boat.
Right? To build the ark. What if Noah didn't build an ark? I mean, was he forced to build an ark?
No, he chose to be obedient.
I mean, he chose to build an ark. What would be different? Now, somebody else may have built an ark. Maybe God would do something different. Maybe, who says the world has to last for any, you know, I don't know what God would have done. Now, God knew his heart and probably knew that he would, and God asked him. We know that Jesus knew from the beginning who would betray him. The scriptures tell us that. So, knowing isn't causing. Knowing is knowing. But what if, you know, what if Noah hadn't made that decision? What I want us to think about is what greatness through Christ, what great things are we leaving on the table? Are you leaving on the table? Like, what are you waiting for? They were fishermen. They weren't qualified for spiritual things, but they worked at it. They had a work ethic. they were they persevered. Peter was persistent, and every time he failed, he kept learning and kept getting better. Right? What are we leaving on the table? What great thing through Christ that we could be doing? Think about Moses. Turn to Exodus 3:11. In Exodus chapter 3, I flipped there and it said, "Who told you you were naked?" Okay, that was Genesis. Will someone read Exodus 3:11, please?
But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?"
Okay. So what's God asking Moses to do? To what?
To lead
what?
His people out of Egypt.
To lead his people out of Egypt, right? That's the context here. And Moses in verse 11 says what? I'm not good enough. Who am I? Right? This is Moses. Who am I to do this thing, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm not good enough to do that. Look in verse 13. What does he say? Read verse 13.
Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?"
Yeah. What shall I say? Like, one, who am I? Two, I don't know the answers. Like, what am I supposed to say when they start asking questions? Right? Do we ever think that? I'm not good enough to do what you want me to do, God. I don't have all the answers. I'm not smart enough. When they start questioning me and really asking me tough stuff, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? Look in chapter 4, verse 1. What does that say? Yeah. What if they don't believe me? What if I fail? What if it doesn't work out the way you want it to work out? Drop down to verse 10. What's verse 10 say in Exodus 4?
Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue."
Yeah. So I'm a terrible public speaker. Right. I'm horrible. I can't talk in front of people. That's not who I am. And then finally in verse 13, what does he say in verse 13? Just find somebody, anybody else. I mean, Lord, this is a bad choice. I am not your guy. Okay? I am not your guy. In verse 14, we learn what? How did God feel about all of his excuses? He's angry, right? The anger of the Lord kindled against Moses. Yeah.
He was going to
be his mouth. Yeah, and that still wasn't enough. Look, just, I hear you, I'm not your person. What if Moses finally, he did go. We know in Exodus 4:19 and 20, he took his family to Egypt. He finally, he did it. What would have been different if Moses hadn't got out of his comfort zone? if he hadn't decided to follow. Yes, God will always find a way to get his will accomplished. It may not have been accomplished the way that Moses did it. He may have done different things because he had Moses. You know, I don't know how he would have done it. Or maybe he would have left the people in captivity for a while longer. Who knows? I have no idea.
Another way of asking the question is, say, when will we allow our faith to allow God to do what he can do in us and let him grow our faith through what he shows us?
Exactly. That is the point here, is what are we willing to allow God to do in us? What are we saying no to? Jesus walks by, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And regardless of the relationship, if there was a relationship, or there's not, or how much of one, or if they heard of them, or they still had to make a decision. Am I going to follow this man? And they decided to follow. And that decision had huge impact. And each of us can have huge impact. But we tell ourselves all these stories, same things that Moses told himself. I'm not qualified, I'm not good enough, I don't have all the answers. You know, on and on and on. I mean, I've got a bad haircut. I mean, whatever it is, right, we can think of things. In Matthew 26, 37 through 43, Jesus prayed in the garden twice to God for what? To consider what? What's that?
Can we do this another way? Do I really have to do this?
Do I really have to do this? Can you let this cup pass from me? Twice he prayed to God. I don't want to do this. What if Jesus hadn't followed what God asked him to do? What would be different? These decisions, you know, we all have to make these decisions. Jesus made these decisions. And his decision, when God called him, not my will, but thy will be done, change the world. And while we're not going to have the impact that Jesus had, there's certainly things that we can be doing that we're likely not doing. You know, what is your legacy going to be? Right? How can you live your best life? We know that God is great, that all the things that we do that are positive, I mean, it's through the goodness of God. It's not of ourselves. It's him working in us and through us. But sometimes we feel, you know, so weak. We feel so inadequate. We feel that we're not enough. We feel the time's just not quite right for me to do that. You know, I have to get my kids grown, or I have to wait till I get some more finances, or whatever it might be. I want to close with Isaiah 40, verse 28. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One of the things that, you know, I know from looking at Peter and thinking about those verses, that we just need to do our part. God will fill in the gap. Just as he told Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'll be your mouth. Just go. I'll fill in the gaps. We just have to go. We have to move. We have to do our part, and God will do the rest. And we learn that from Peter over and over. We will learn that. We'll look at that over the quarter of how Peter would just keep getting up. He kept messing up, but he got out of the boat. He started walking. God will fill in the gaps, and he will restore. He will restore each of us, and he'll restore Peter and make him what he needs to be, which was not a perfect man, but a great apostle in the church. All right, thanks for your time.